The University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee plays a vital role in shaping the future of Milwaukee and Wisconsin. UWM's diversity, academic excellence, and major public research contribute to the region's economic development and quality of life. Meet the people behind the creativity and discoveries at UWM today. Here's the host of UWM Today, Tom Lujak, Vice Chancellor for University Relations and Communications.
If you spend a day watching TV talk shows or infomercials, chances are you will see someone talking about their diets, or talking about your weight, or discussing the latest news about what to eat, when to eat it, and how you should feel about eating. On this edition of UWM Today, the topic is food, nutrition to be more specific, as today we hear about a new program offered at UWM in nutrition sciences. Joining us in the studio is Lori Klass. She's an assistant professor of kinesiology, and Susie Kundrat, clinical assistant professor in kinesiology and nutritional sciences program director. And they're both here to talk about food. So is food a science? How do we make that connection between what we eat and maybe what we should be eating? Lori, the new program.
Sure, and that's a great question. And so we seem to think that what we end up eating is such a simple decision day to day, but the complexity that surrounds this choice has been thought to be associated with 200 food-related decisions that we make each day. And so that really opens up a world of aspects of food and nutrition that we can really study. And so nutritional sciences is really looking at what way food interacts with our human body, our physiology, and all the decisions that go into why we put a certain food into our mouth and what ends up happening as a result of that with time.
Susie, we often eat without thinking much about that, do we? I mean, normally when you're a kid and you're growing up, peanut butter and jelly sounds pretty good. You're hungry and, you know, you're back outside playing. When should people begin to really slow down and give a little deeper consideration to what's in that food that we're putting in our body?
Well, I think you can look at it two ways. There's a school of thought that when we're small, when we're children, it's really important for us to kind of eat when we're hungry and stop when we're full. And it's more the parent or the caregiver's responsibility to decide what is presented to the child, how much perhaps is presented, how often, the types of foods that they have. So that's more the adult's job. And as we get older, once kids get into grade school and middle school, they become more in charge of also perhaps what they're choosing and how that fits together in terms of the nutritional impact of that food. And that just grows as time goes on. So one of the goals really is to try to stay in touch with that feeling of hunger and satiety and how much to eat, which helps us maintain a healthy body, but become more and more aware of the science of nutrition and why different foods are important and why eating a variety of foods is also critical.
Well, we're talking about a program developed at the university where you study nutritional sciences. Have these programs been around for a long time and in other colleges or universities besides UWM?
Yeah, so definitely. Several other UW system schools have programs in nutritional sciences or a related field. And there's only one other program in southeastern Wisconsin, that's Mount Mary University, that's had a nutritional sciences program. And so looking at our student population and hearing them communicate some areas of study that are interesting to them, they've talked a lot about food and nutrition and wanting to be able to help people live healthier lives. And so we've had a nutrition certificate program, which is a program that you can have to learn a little bit more about nutrition if there isn't a major at present. And so there's been a large number of students who have been enrolled in that aspect of things. And so that really helped create this idea that there is a demand or a need for a bachelor's degree program in nutritional sciences to help train up the next generation of students who are going to be helping parents navigate the food environment with their children or working directly with children to help them eat in a way that makes them feel good, be able to be active, and ultimately become a good nutrition consumer as they grow older.
We're going to talk more a little later in the program about the nutrition science degree program, but I want to talk just a bit more deeply now about this whole notion of our understanding or our relationship to food. Is it a norm that all of us, as we grow up, become attached to certain types of food, and that what is normal for us may be very abnormal for someone else? Is that a pretty common experience for folks, Susie?
Well, sure it is. I mean, we look at our staff even in terms of where we've grown up. I tend to be a pork lover because I grew up in Iowa. So, you know, that gives you a little sense of it. But we become very we enjoy the foods that we grew up with because it gives us a lot of good feelings about perhaps times of our past or what was comfortable to us or our family gatherings. And all those things are really important when we think about nutrition too. Nutrition itself is not just looking at what food someone should eat. It really is encompassing our own background and how we bring ourselves to the table and how we can enjoy food. And that's one of our goals with the program is there are several courses in this program that teach people about why they eat and what are some of the factors that affect our eating. And it's not just about the vitamins and minerals in food. That's important too, but there are so many sociological and psychological and emotional things that affect why we choose certain foods, and that's something that we're able to bring into this program as well.
Well, and there also are so many choices. You know, we talk about the youngster growing up and indeed living in an environment where they probably are exposed to a finite number of options. But I remember vividly when I was in grade school sitting across from a kid at St. Joe's School Parish Hall eating bagged lunches, and he pulled out fried egg sandwich. Mm-hmm. And I never saw anybody with a fried egg between two pieces of Wonder Bread and mm-hmm. some ketchup on it, as I recall. I just stood there and said, wow, what is that? And suddenly it dawned on me, I think that may have been the first time, that not everybody eats the same way that we eat.
Definitely not. And the food industry has gotten very creative lately. I think my latest interaction with a product similar to your fried egg sandwich is peanut butter and jelly from a can. And so that is a new product that is available.
You mean already mixed together?
Already mixed together. You just pop the can open and snack on your peanut butter and jelly sandwich. But I think the point you raised is a really good one. So when consumers go to the grocery store and see 40 to 50 to 60 different varieties of cereal, some are labeled whole grain, some are labeled organic, they have to make a decision at that time as to what to choose, balancing their taste preferences, their maybe their health needs, or maybe some conditions that they're struggling with, as well as the needs and wants of their family as well. And so there are a lot of different pressures that influence a consumer's decision to pick up a box of whole grain cereal X as opposed to Y. And then from a nutritional standpoint, what is the impact of consuming that cereal on their health and well-being with time?
Well, and then you have the whole other factor of the busy lifestyle that we live. The fact that we often are just interested in getting something in our stomach or our kid's stomach mm-hmm. because we worked all day, we're exhausted, the kids are crabby, and oh my God, we got to eat something.
Right, right.
Probably not a good time to imagine the best choices are being made under that sort of stress, right?
Right. I mean, there's that stress and there's cost. And so food costs. We encourage people to eat very healthy and a wide range of foods, but we've got to have these foods accessible. We've got to have them reasonable in terms of the cost. And, you know, fortunately right now in Milwaukee, I just started here at UWM with the program, and I've been completely flabbergasted by the number of different initiatives that are going on right now in the city, food and beverage initiatives and looking at urban agriculture initiatives and some of the things that are really taking off right now. And so I think we're really well situated to look at all these different factors that might affect why people choose what they choose and also be able to educate our students in a way that they can really be aware of all those different factors, which is really fantastic.
You know, I'm curious if the American culture is different from others around the world in terms of our knowledge or awareness of the food that we're putting into our body? Do other people aside from Americans know more about their food than we do? Or as a rule, are folks pretty much the same? You eat what you were brung up to eat.
So that's a great question. And from a cultural standpoint, I'm not sure of any studies that have compared nutrition knowledge across cultures. But I'll speak to this for the United States is consumers are very eager to learn about the latest research related to food and eating and nutrition to the point that it's almost overwhelming. So one study, you hear a news article that eggs, for example, are not good for your health. And then a week later comes another story that maybe they are a great source of protein and good for your health. And so consumers have to navigate this very complex environment in order to make decisions for their health and well-being. But I will say this, in terms of cultural differences, we are very much a culture that values the time we have because we don't have a lot of it, and we turn to convenience food type items to help, you know, manage the little bit of time we have. And so we've been spending less and less time kind of enjoying food and family, where other cultures, that's still a very solid value that they have. For example, in French culture, in the schools in France, there are a lot of schools that actually have trained chefs that prepare foods for their school children. And the children are served off of actual dinner plates rather than plastic trays. And they sit in groups and share food. And so they're learning all sorts of aspects about food and eating and nutrition within the classroom, where in the United States, you know, we're valuing learning and math and science, and lunch is just something we need to feed our kids so then they can get back to the books. And instead of taking this as a real learning opportunity for kids to teach them about eating and enjoying their food and slowing down, because that tends to also be associated with eating a little bit less, not overeating, as well as eating healthier.
Well, and not to mention the fact that the kids who are growing up today are watching television, watching the commercials, and what do you see? A steady stream of ads for what? Fast food, convenience food, snack food, because it tastes good, right? I mean,
right.
And it sells. So
right.
there's a real economic force driving a lot of the behavior, maybe shaping a lot of the behavior, perhaps unintended, but a natural consequence of the commercial enterprise that is part of our society.
Mm-hmm. And I think there's a lot more awareness about that now. And, you know, there are a lot of people, and I think looking at how this food marketing has really affected kids in particular and trying to kind of step back from that a little bit. And so that's good. There's a lot of discussion about that now, a lot of interest in how we can try to help our kids. And I think, as you mentioned, Lori, one of the bottom lines is trying to get back to where we do value having time to eat. Because when we teach our kids in schools that they have to eat very quickly and they don't have time to really taste the food or think about the food or even digest the food very well, that sends the message that that's how you eat. And so I think that somehow we have to keep pushing for schools to look at this as a really important issue, and particularly as we look at the whole area of obesity in our country. And there's so much attention to the increases in obesity and how we need to work with that. And it really starts young. I mean, we know that we have to teach kids how to be aware of how they're eating first.
Well, and that's the really scary part. I think obesity has always been with us. I remember, you know, uncles and, mm-hmm. you know, relatives that had a little pot on them, maybe a big pot on them. But that was just, you know, sort of what you eventually evolved into, I guess, in my background. But today it's happening so much sooner for all those reasons that we've heard about, you know, not enough exercise, the push to go ahead and just eat and get it done and move on. You know, one notion that occurred to me that, and this just actually came to me recently when I was reading stories about the way in which the snack food industry tries to create a product that is highly desired. How do you create a taste or bring texture to food that is going to trigger something deep down in my brain that says, bacon, bacon, yeah. bacon, bacon. You gotta have more, right?
Right.
And up until then, I'll be honest. I you know thought you know I was under the impression that this was the food industry was fairly benign, and you know they just were giving people what they wanted. But when I began to read stories that there are some food companies that give you something that you didn't know you wanted, but
right.
for the fact that the fat content or the texture is manufactured to just the right degree.
Sure.
I had a whole different view of what's going on out there.
Sure. And the food industry is an interesting entity. And so you mentioned the snack. And so a few generations ago, the snack was not something that was very common. So people would typically just eat three main meals a day, and that was pretty much it. But to create additional eating opportunities in order to sell more products, the food industry created this idea of little opportunities to eat in between meals. So things to help you get through the day. And there are huge amounts of dollars being spent on product formulation, consumer testing, and marketing to get that product formulation just right, to create that want. And so when you look at the flip side of that, in terms of how much money is available to promote healthy eating and healthy snacking, there's a huge imbalance. We just don't have those dollars there. And so consumers are really under huge pressure to eat healthfully in an environment that encourages quite the opposite, if you ask me.
You're listening to UWM Today here on WUWM. Good to have you with us this week. I'm Tom Lujack. Joining us in the studio, Lori Klass and Susie Kundrat. Both of them work at UWM in the College of Health Sciences, both involved in the development of a new nutritional sciences degree program. Susie, this program that you've just recently come to Milwaukee to join, talk about what you hope will result in having this method of teaching students better habits and provide a deeper understanding of the food and the food industry.
Well, we have the opportunity here as we're developing the program to perhaps have several different tracks. So what we're going to be able to do is students who are interested in nutrition, they come in interested in nutrition and nutritional sciences, can eventually choose after their first couple years if they want to go ahead and work perhaps more with the food industry, more food and business or nutrition communications. That may be one track. Or maybe they're really interested in food and culture and maybe interested more in urban nutrition. Maybe they can go that track, or they may be more interested in wellness and prevention and sports nutrition. And eventually, we will be having a track that hopefully will be a dietetics track that's more clinical nutrition and food service nutrition that will prepare students to become a registered dietitian. And Dr. Kit Werner is on our staff, too, within biomedical sciences and directing, you know, getting that program going as well within nutritional sciences. So we feel that we can offer there could be other ways, too, that students can kind of focus their undergraduate program. So we are well suited here to be able to offer a lot of different options, and we expect a lot of students to get into nutritional sciences as pre-professional degree, too. Perhaps they want to go to medical school or go further on in dentistry or whatever it might be. So as we're – being a new program, Lori and I were just talking about this earlier, how it's really a fantastic opportunity to craft these courses so that they can provide perhaps unique opportunities that may not be what someone gets everywhere else. And again, being in this urban setting where there are also a lot of nutritional needs and health needs gives us the opportunity to look at different ways that students can find their niche and maybe what they're interested in and be able to help them develop a program that works for them.
What sort of feedback are you getting from students who have been taking some of these courses already?
So I've been teaching at UWM since 2007, various nutrition courses, particularly related to eating behavior and most recently on obesity and weight management. And what they typically come away with saying is not realizing the scope of influence that affects what they eat, how much they eat, and how they move and why they move. And so I think when we look at health professionals, we oftentimes think that it's the individual's decision to eat healthy or not to eat healthy, to exercise or not to eat or not to exercise. And when they've taken some of these classes, they really do realize that it's much more complex than that. And in order to help somebody improve what they eat or how much they move, they really need to take consideration into things like the evolution of the snack or, for example, Taco Bell's new fourth meal that they're trying to create, you know, something that you can do at midnight when you're awake. You can go to Taco Bell
like
for the fourth meal.
Sounds like a line out of The Hobbits, doesn't it?
Right.
Pre-breakfast, post-breakfast,
Exactly. Exactly. And so I think students come away with a better appreciation of the complexity of this field as well as the field that it is indeed grounded in science. So we cover biology, physiology, chemistry, biochemistry, psychology, sociology. It's a multidisciplinary area of study. And I think that they appreciate that and see how nutrition kind of sits at the middle of all of these different fields. And so it really does give them an interesting educational experience taking classes in this area.
After students take some of these courses, do you ever see change in their personal behavior?
Oh, sure. One of the courses I'm teaching right now is our new Introduction to Nutrition for the majors. And as part of that course, just as part of several of our nutrition courses, the students have to do a lot of self-reflection. So they will track their own diets and do a diet analysis and learn what all that means and then take a look at what they were eating and why did they eat and how they might eat differently or why did they make the food choices and how that compares to recommendations. And so some of our students already in this course have said, wow, I never stopped to actually think about what I was eating or why I was eating. And we talk a lot about spreading food throughout the day and how important it is to be well-nourished, not just at lunch and dinner and beyond, but perhaps earlier in the day. And so that's one thing that students have been aware of, is saying, wow, I no wonder maybe I'm tired in the morning or I can't concentrate in class if I'm not getting enough fuel earlier. So, and that's our hope, is that this can be this program can actually help our students themselves as they go through. We know, because we work with food our whole careers and nutrition, that we kind of think about it all the time, whether that's good or bad, I don't know. But you know, these things, just to raise the awareness, I think has been really kind of light bulb going off in a lot of our students' minds too.
I'm sure we've got some listeners who are saying these professors sound so smart and so wise about what they're discussing. Do they ever eat snack food? Do you ever go to McDonald's or Wendy's? Do you ever partake in the stuff that probably is not the best thing to do every day, but as a treat?
So personally, I would say my vice is not cooking as much as I should. So while I typically don't visit a lot of fast food restaurants because I'm personally a vegetarian and those options are hard to come by in the traditional fast food milieu, but I do admit to a lot of microwave cooking. I embrace that. Mm-hmm. And so I'm trying to figure out, especially with time constraints. So as a working mother whose husband is also employed, I'm under the same constraints as everybody else. And so I need
You don't know how reassuring it is to hear that, by the way.
Oh, it's so true. And so sometimes we're looked to as these role models of perfect nutrition behavior. And maybe those nutrition faculty are out there, but I am not one of them. And so it's, what can I do to eat as best as I can within the constraints that I'm under? And so for me, it's finding some healthy frozen food options that I can make quickly and easily for my family rather than having to eat out on a more regular basis, which can be quite costly. And we tend to eat more simply when we eat out than we intend. So
how about you, Susie?
There's my confession.
Yeah, I think the same things. I think, like we'd mentioned earlier, I think how we grow up and how we eat, the way we grew up. I grew up in a family where we didn't have much money, but we always had dessert. So I continue to enjoy the sweets as well. And I think that we struggle with finding that balance just like everybody else does. And so one of the things I really like the fact that I think all of our nutrition faculty here in biomedical sciences and kinesiology, the two joint programs were developing this degree. You know, there's a lot of difference in how we grew up. There's a lot, but there's a big feeling of food being a positive thing. And I think that's really the bottom line, is that people should eat well, eat healthy, know what that means, but enjoying eating is just as important. And so that means that sometimes you're going to eat things that aren't the healthiest, but you really enjoyed them. And that's critical too, because you want to feel good about what you eat in addition to, hey, eating a lot of good healthy things as well.
You know, with just a couple of minutes left, and I do want to touch on this topic, there's a lot of controversy over the genetic manufacturing or genetic modification that is being introduced in some of the corn crops, wheat, you know, food that you consider natural but has been altered by virtue of manipulations that occur in the laboratory. Do you have any of those discussions in your nutrition classes with students? Do they ever ask about this? And to that point, do your discussions in nutrition ever become political?
So that's a great question. And so I've taught a class called Public Health, Nutrition, and Food Politics, which talks about those topics exactly like the one you brought up. And so we talk about how our political infrastructure trickles down from federal policy to affect ultimately what goes on your plate. And so from a food industry standpoint, our political system is set up to reward a food system that produces large amounts of corn, for example. And so corn growers it would be to their advantage to grow the maximum amount of corn in the littlest amount of land as possible at the highest quality as possible. And so to do that, genetic modification can be extremely helpful. But from a consumer's point of view, that's operating behind the scenes, and we don't know much about that. We hear news stories every so often about those things. And so we integrate some of these concepts into the public health nutrition class, for example, about the farm bill and how that affects corn growers and why they grow in the way that they do, and why we tend to see a sea of corn throughout the Midwest rather than a more diverse set of crops. And so, and what are the implications of that? And so we have some debates on these types of topics. And so, and it can get quite heated, which makes for a lot of fun.
So, and it makes a better consumer too. Not only are
sure.
you teaching the students how to be the leaders in these fields, but also to be better citizens in terms of food policy, right?
Exactly. And I think again, we're well positioned here in Milwaukee, where we have, you know, fantastic array of food companies. We have the whole growing power and urban gardening movement. We have all these things that would allow us to deal with some of these issues that are real issues in the whole United States, because we've got sort of a microcosm of a lot of these things that are going on right here, which is great.
And you've got the great nutrition science program now at the university to support that. Well, that's unfortunately all we have time for. I could keep talking about this. It's sort of like keep eating, right?
Right.
You know, it's
right.
So good. Let's have some more. But we'll have you back on as the program develops, because certainly it's a topic that is not going away as long as we are hungry, right?
That's right.
Lori Kloss and Susie Kondrat, both assistant professors at UW-Milwaukee, involved in the development of the new nutritional sciences degree program. Well, that's all for this week's program here at WUWM. We appreciate you taking some time to spend some time listening about the great things that the university is doing that help change our lives. Take care, everybody. We'll see you next week at the same time. I'm Tom Lujack.
You've been listening to UWM Today, the weekly program where you meet the faculty, staff, and students at the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, who help make a difference in the lives of people in southeastern Wisconsin through their teaching, research, and community service. To learn more about UWM, go online to uwm.edu.